Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 20. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 20. And I will be reading it in New King James Version. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be what? Be mature. And I want you to please say it after me. Men of mature understanding. Yes, don't say because it says men, so women are exempted. Now, you know, this is all of us. When we say men, we are talking of us together. It is our calling to be mature. Not just to have understanding, but to be mature in our understanding. If you look into all the presentation, you will see everything is kind of emphasizing the same thing. That we, as children of God, we have to grow. We have to continue to move up. We have to continue to advance. We need to continue to progress in our relationship with the Lord, in our understanding of His law, so that we can run this race successfully. People with mature understanding are able to see beyond the naked eyes. Until we have understanding, and until we are mature in our understanding, we will just see things like just everybody. But you know, as Christians, God has called us into a divine journey, and we have responsibilities. Everything about church is spiritual. We have to be mature in our understanding as we progress in this journey. Men of understanding are those that are able to see things with the eye of God, not with a human eye. It means in every situation, there are things that God is saying. And until you have the understanding, you will just do it just like anybody. And that is why you cannot judge people, because you don't know why they are doing what they are doing. Sometimes God will give you instruction with no explanation, and He will not even give you the reason why, because He wants you to just yield, so that you will not be influenced by His reason. Men of understanding, though, they don't do things in common's way, but they do things in God's way, as God opens their eyes. It takes a lot to walk with the Lord, that is to understand His ways and to walk in His footpath. I'm telling you, brethren, it takes men of understanding to be able to interpret the hands of God on the wall. When things is going on in your life, it takes your relationship with the Lord to be able to identify the finger of God in that situation. Otherwise, you can be praying against the devil, and that's not the devil, that is God. It can be God. But when you have the understanding and you matured enough to understand the move of God, you will be silent. You will be quiet. You will be still. Because you know that God has opened your eyes to see things differently. Have you seen situations whereby people come to sympathize with someone and they are the one telling them, rejoice. Don't cry. God is on the throne. And immediately, people that are prepared to cry, they start to adjust. Because they will be like, this is so contrary. They can see clearly and interpret the hands of God, even when others are blind to that situation. They understand what it means when God is silent. They understand what it means when God is moving. They know when God is acting. They know the moves of God and they flow with it. That is why they are peculiar, men of understanding. And we must have maturity in it so that we can handle it well. The teaching today, I will be basing it on three major categories. And I want you to come along with me. And that will lead to the next point that I'm giving you in terms of defining the meaning of men of mature understanding. People of mature understanding maintain cordial relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. They live their life based on the word of God, number two. And are guided by His Spirit, number three. Anybody can claim it. Yes, I have understanding. I'm mature in the Lord. But these three areas that we are going to break into should be seen vividly in all that we do. Let me say it again. They have cordial relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They live their life based on the word of God, and they are guided by His Spirit. Are you a man or a woman of mature understanding? Meaning, do you have cordial relationship with whom the Lord Jesus is? Do you live your life based on His word? Are you being guided by the Holy Spirit in all you do? There is a story we are going to follow that is going to bring us into all these three areas from the book of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 31. So in my teachings, I want you to come along with me. So we'll be reading this scripture. When we get there, I will let us know. Relationship with Jesus Christ is the first thing I want to focus at. If you are really a man of mature understanding, or you want to be, there is no way you can have understanding without having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never know Him. You can never have that understanding of what He is saying, of what He is doing. I was sharing with the youth on Friday. I said, one day I was preaching, we were going on evangelism, and I got to this man, elderly father. I said, sir, we came to share the word of God with you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came and died and resurrected, and He gave us assurance. And if you can accept Him, if you can accept Him as your Lord and say, hey, stop, stop, stop. He yelled at me. Stop, I said. Yes, sir. How old are you? I was looking at him. I said, how old are you? I said, sir, what I came to share with you is nothing about me. It's about Jesus Christ who came 2,000 years. Hey! Keep quiet. You didn't answer my question. Okay, how old is your parent? Do you have a father? Or your mom? How old are they? I was looking at the man. The reason why I'm asking how old are you is because you allow all this heresy to go on your head. Someone like you, the way I'm looking at you, your father cannot even be 200 years old. And you are coming to tell me somebody came 2,000 years ago and died. Were you there? Was your father there? Was your great-grandfather there? Praise the Lord. See the understanding. You can see that the gap is just too wide. I'm like, Lord, help me here. You should be in college. You are going about on the street. You should be studying law or psychology or something and become somebody important in life. I said, sir, I will be leaving. But all I'm telling you is that He loves you.
He came for you if you can accept him. So we left. I was sharing with them that you don't argue. You don't fight. You bring the word of peace. If you accept it, share it. If not, don't stay there and say, I will say my fact. It's up to you. And if you don't take it, you will die. And you're going to hellfire. You may not get home safely. Praise the Lord. Relationship with him. For you to begin to have understanding, which will now take you to the next level of being matured, you need to have a cordial relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just knowing God. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Those are the two things that proves that you have relationship with the Lord Jesus. A lot of people know him. A lot of people talk about him. A lot of people carry their Bible every Sunday, read it. A lot of people memorize the scripture, but there is no relationship. Everybody say relationship. Relationship. Having him as your Lord and Savior and growing intimacy with him by walking with him, that is by making your path to be like him in your action, in your words, in everything you do, makes you closer to him. You know why? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it. Why do you need to maintain, have a cordial relationship? When we're talking of understanding, you can just go to Rutgers and learn it. You can go to Montclair University and learn it. Right? To have relationship with the Lord. Let's read what the Bible says. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. There is no understanding that can come. There is no understanding about whom the Lord Jesus is that can come from any other sources other than getting closer to him, accepting him as your Lord and Savior. He is your Savior, the one that will save you and I, that has saved us, those of us that have been converted from our past life. And now he is your Lord. Lord means Adonai, meaning master, the one that dictates, the one that tells you, the one that you receive instruction from. A lot of people have been born again. Yes, been born again. Yes, been born again, speaking in tongues. But does he have saying in your life, in what you do? He is really your Lord, or you do what you want to do. Verse 13 of that Luke chapter 24, verse 13. This story we are going to focus at is talking about when Jesus was resurrected from the tomb and the disciples were looking for him. We all know the story. On the third day, he resurrected. Now, you have to pay attention and come with me as we go so that you can understand it fully. Verse 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Yes. As they walked, who were those people walking? What did the Bible call them? Followers. Followers of Jesus, before he was arrested and crucified. Now, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. Who are they talking about? Jesus Christ. They're talking about Jesus Christ. Someone can be following. Someone can be a member of Orange Foursquare Church. Someone can be in CFM. Someone can even be preaching the gospel and still doesn't know him. What makes you to know me is if you have relationship with me. If you don't know me, you can just talk about me the way I am. If they ask you to describe Pastor Victor, yes, he is dark skinned. He is petite. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is tall, like 7'3". You mean I'm not up to that? Okay, he is handsome. I was just going to round up this sermon if you say no. Praise the Lord. Do you know that all the description you were giving, you don't know me? You are just talking of. Yeah, you know Jesus, he is the Son of God. He came and died. He resurrected. Everybody knows that. If that is all you know about him, brethren, you don't know him yet. Because all you are saying, everybody knows that. What will make you to really know me? Can somebody tell me? Relationship. How do you have relationship with someone? Spending time, talking, conversing, visiting, fellowshipping, spending time, studying his word, listening to him, observing his ways. The more you spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you will know him. The more he will reveal himself unto you. It takes him and the power of the Holy Spirit for us to know him. A lot of people think today that because they can pray 74 hours a day, that makes them to be. Because they can memorize. You know, people can memorize the scripture. You can have all the scripture on your head and doesn't know Christ. You can have that talent. We have individuals with some disabilities. They are so peculiar. I'm telling you, some of them will tell you date of birth. Once you tell them information, they don't forget. They know all the staff's name, date of birth of everybody in the facility and all that and all that. These people, they wake up, they were disciples, they heard that Jesus had resurrected, they went to the tomb, and as they were walking along, they were talking about what happened. Verse 15. As they talk and discuss these things, let's read it together. Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Do you know that they still don't know him? How can someone be a follower? And now Jesus himself. And as they were talking and walking, you mean you didn't know what is going on in this line, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was dead and now resurrected, and now we are looking for him? They're talking to Jesus himself. Jesus came and began to walk with them. They still couldn't recognize him. Why? There was no relationship. They just know him. Do you know that a lot of people are here or in churches today, they know Jesus as Father Christmas. They know Jesus as the man to be in times of need. They know Jesus as the one to run to when thief Barao comes into your house to shout, "Jesus, Jesus." They know Jesus as the one to call when somebody is sick. They know Jesus as the one to call when you look into your bank account and you have only $5 left. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. One day I was sharing with the singles. I said, stop treating Jesus as a spare tire. He is not a spare tire. You need to have a relationship with him. In your beautiful car, where do you put your spare? At the back. When do you remember you have it? When you remember you have a spare and you pull it out, it's when you have a flat. All this while you travel long distance and chatting in the car, buying McDonald's and Chinese and everything, eating, and you're talking, everybody playing music, you're having fun in the car, the spare is at the back, boom, the moment you have a flat, whew, we gotta stop. You pull out the spare. That's when you remember the spare. Do not treat Jesus as a spare tire in times of need. Then you don't know him. It's someone you cherish. to love, to walk with, to hear, to talk to him every day, every moment of your life. Consider how long much time you spend with your friend and how much time you spend with Jesus. Just in 24 hours. And it doesn't even bother some people. It is on Sunday they will remember where their Bible is. It's time for church. And they start looking, calling the children. Where did you guys put my Bible last Sunday when we came back from church? Bring it out. Hurry up, don't let us be late. And they start looking under the table, under the chair. No, daddy, I think it should be in your room. Verse 16 tells us something which I want us to consider. And you will understand why God did not let them recognize Jesus. But God kept them from what? Can you read it with me? But God kept them from recognizing him. Do you know why? They don't speak the language of God. They don't speak the language of God. In any situation, if you don't speak the language of God, you will not see the hand of God. What makes you to understand what God is saying in a situation is when you speak his language. When you refuse to speak the language of what you can see, of what is going on, you refuse, even though it is evident, even though it is clear, you say no. You behind the cross, there is a crown. Amen. I'm telling you. And until you take the cross and accept the cross and lift up the cross, you wouldn't know that there is a crown behind it. Jesus kept it because they don't speak his language. Jesus had informed them, I will be going. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to die. He gave them instruction. But when he died, they were sad. You must partnership with the Lord for what he is doing in your life for you to see beyond now.
Correct.
You must. If you allow the devil to begin to show you his movie in any situation, brethren, you will be tired. You will be weak. You will be weary. You will speak not the language of the Lord. And you know what? You give a devil a ride, he will become a driver. Everybody say, refuse. You should refuse. You should insist not to see what you are looking at, because men of understanding, they see beyond these naked eyes. They see the hand of God, even when everybody are blind. And when you stand, people don't understand why you're standing. When you're singing, they have no clue. They think you lost your mind. They don't know that you have seen the crown. You have seen the crown, and you can see your father telling you, keep coming. The crown is for you. Keep standing. You are making it. Keep coming. You are shining. You are getting there.
Somebody praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Men of mature understanding, this is the level God wants us to get to. I'm telling you. It has nothing to do with only things spiritual. Even in your physical needs, refuse to say what you see. Declare what it says. If people are telling you and comforting you and giving you all the news, I'm telling you, I've said it a lot of time here, brother. I will keep repeating it because that is what I have. My own testimony. They have told my wife and I in this America that you people cannot have children. Because they have tried it and they see the test. They see the result. Physically, we have. Spiritually, we have. And we are still having.
Amen.
Not physical, baby. Pastor Emmanuel can continue. Praise the Lord. Now we are, when we get to number three, I say, God, that's it. Thank you so much, Your Majesty. And he heard me. Praise the Lord. They said, no, you guys can't. But we refuse. We stand on the word. We refuse. We said no. No, when he said it, he stand by his word. Even when it happened, brethren, few months, they said this is a terrible situation. The baby is abnormal. The baby is just forming. We are advising you, because of what they can see, and it was like 2 months or whatever, so they gave my wife a paper to take home to her husband and discuss together. She said, no, I will sign it now. No, bring the paper. Let me sign it now. No, because I know what my husband will say, and I'm saying the same thing with my husband, and I know who gave us this. The blessings of God do not hide sorrow. Brethren, he cannot give you a gift and stress you out. That is not God. That is from the devil. He wants to steal and change your testimony. Know what the Bible says? He is a thief. And that is what he is. So when you see him coming in his decorative way, call him a thief. But oh, get out. Yes. What is it in Igbo? Oyosi. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know a thief? You know that a thief is somebody that wants to come and take what doesn't belong to them. That is why they come when you're sleeping. That is why they come when you are not there. So if you are sleeping spiritually, they will come. They want to take. They want to steal. They want to kill. They will now destroy. He has nothing to offer. My wife signed the paper. And she came over and told me, I said, I supported you. We are in agreement. This is from God. After waiting, and God did it, and now they are saying story. Whatever it is, I said, it is the Holy Spirit they saw in the womb. That is what I said. I said, you know why? They couldn't interpret it. It is the Holy Spirit that they saw in my wife's womb, and they call it abnormal. Did you guys see Toby? Taller than me now. God gave us this name, even in Nigeria before we came here in 1998. We came in 1998. God gave us this name since 1996. Why you are still waiting? Oluwa Toby, that is, my God is great. But we didn't know the meaning. Yes, God is great. I didn't know that we are going to pass through journey. To now see that God is great indeed. Until you pass through, you can never say it. But when you pass through it, you will be able to stand and say it confidently. God is great. So everywhere I go as pastor, hey, pastor, greet Toby. Yes, they didn't know that there was no Toby. Sometimes they will pack gift. Give Toby. Give mommy. There was no Toby, but there is Toby. Call those things that were not as if. My friend, stop crying. Start declaring the word. You need to be aggressive to the devil and say, devil, how dare you? You even made a mistake. Coming here to begin to deceive somebody like me, don't you know? Let the devil know who you are. Don't say you are a member of Foreign Force Square, my friend. That doesn't go nowhere. You are a child of God, redeemed, sanctified, a terror to the kingdom of the devil, a man of the word, somebody in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil will say, oh, he know who he is. You just sing it, you should know it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 16 we read, it's saying that God kept it because there's no way he could explain it to them because they don't speak the language of God. As a man and a woman of mature understanding, be in relationship with him, it will energize you in a situation that comes to your way, no matter what, you will speak the language of God. And that language of God moves the hand of God. And when the hand of God is moved, Satan disappears. And when Satan disappears, victory is yours. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were weak in faith. That is why he did not let them know it. He did not. Who is Jesus to you? Verse 19. Please read it. Verse 19. Verse 19. So what things? Jesus asked them. They were talking to him. They're talking to Jesus about Jesus. See what ignorance can do. What things Jesus was asking them? The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, see? Did you see what they know him for? They were his followers. The man from Nazareth, they said, he was a prophet. Do you know that's why some people come to church? Maybe they can see vision for them. God touch our pastor so they can see. But you back pastor, you might have said it now. He will come to church and be praying that God minister to our pastor so they can see vision. See vision for us. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. And he was a mighty teacher. And in the eyes of God and all the people. See how? See how they're describing Jesus. These are followers. Disciples. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. And they crucified him. Yes. We had hope. He was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. What they are saying right there is, we thought he was the Messiah. We had hoped that we had a Messiah, but now he's dead. We thought he is the Messiah. This is all happened. 3 days ago, you this man, you mean you didn't know all this story? They were telling Jesus. Why are you here? Can you ask somebody sitting with you, why are you here? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. People go to church today because when they have occasion, they will have church people. Church people. They will have a pastor to officiate. Why are you here? See what they are calling Jesus. He is a prophet. He is a teacher. Yeah, we thought he was the Messiah, but I guess he's not, because now he's gone. Is he the Messiah? Verse 27 through 29. Please jump to that. 27, verse 27. Then Jesus took them through the right. You know, Jesus saw that, man, these people didn't know me. He took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets and explaining from all the scripture the things concerning who? Himself. Himself. See, the purpose of all this we are doing, if it is not about him, we are just doing service, ceremony, shush, let's go. And that's... Did you go to church today? Yes. Did you give offering? Yes. Did you guys dance? Ah, we dance. And after we share the grace, everybody go home. Nobody remember anything about him. Because nobody talk about him. Even when they were coming, they were not thinking about him. That's why they can come anytime they want. That's why they look at people anyhow. That's why they don't care what is coming out. Because they didn't come for him. He began to break the scripture. As of this time, they still don't know him. Verse 28. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted. Even Jesus is a comedian. I'm telling you. He acts with us with our level. Based on our level, sometimes too. He realized that as he was teaching them, they now began to have relationship. They now began to love him. They now began to be listening to him. Then he acted as if he was still going. See what they said. Relationship. But they begged him, stay the night with us, since it is getting late. That was what he wanted. He wanted to give them more. What made them to beg him to stay with them? Because he began to break the word. He began to break the word. He began to break the word. Who is the word? In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Jesus is the word. He was breaking himself. Brethren, you need him. You need him. I need him. More, every time. Every time. No matter how busy you are, create more time for him. He has more to give you, more than what you think you have. No matter how spiritual your title is, you need more of him by making yourself available. 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 Not just to do all this ceremony we do in church today. That is why going to heaven is not going to be based on denomination. It's going to be based on individual. It's you. 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 But they beg him to stay that night. He's the only one that can open our eyes. Brethren. John chapter 1 verse 9. John chapter 1 verse 9. There it was. The true light was then coming into the world. The genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illumines every person. Did you see why we must have a relationship with him? He's the only one that can bring illumination. He's the only one that can open our eyes. He is the only one. When you are in relationship with someone, brethren, they are there for you. They will fight for you. They will defend you. They will stand with you, right? He will take care of everything we consider need. That is taking our time and focus today. The most important thing is to cherish having a relationship with him. Have you been in a relationship with someone and they really love you to hope? Remember when you are about to marry? Those of you that just got married now, I see them, they carry bag. They carry bag. They will carry anything for their, you know, isn't that awesome? And I see that once we announce, they start carrying bag. They're loving it. Whatever I say, they will carry the bag with their own. And you see the love is coming. Coming with them or behind them. They are love is powerful. Gee. I never carried bag during my time. It wasn't happening then. I don't know. But maybe other things we do. But what I see coming today is carry. So if you announce you tomorrow, you have to start carrying bag. I'm talking about love. One day, a woman was arguing with me. One of my sons just came. How dare you talking to him like that? Don't even try and talk to him like that. Now I shifted the focus from her to him. Please. Okay. Let's go. Don't worry. He was ready to fight. When you are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will defend you. When you are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be your sufficiency. Because he cherished that relationship. You think he hates you? He wants you. He wants you.
He wants us to spend time with him. He wants to hear our voice. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to just be with him. You can just be alone and just begin to admire his awesomeness. Praise the Lord. When you are in relationship with someone, you will have access to all about them, right? Yeah. If it is a true relationship, everything they have is for you. You can go to their closet and take their shoes. If it is the same size, you can take anything. You can grab their wallet. Please let me be in relationship with you because I have to have access to your wallet. I can take your wallet. Are you going to say, no, we are friends, but not to that. Then there is no relationship. Everything God has is for you as a child of God, just because we are in relationship with him. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham, my friend, my servant, what I am going to do? See, access, privilege. See something God is saying right there. When you have relationship with someone, you have access to all about them. Imagine you are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have access. That is why you will know things before they happen. Praise the Lord. Let me go quickly to 2 Timothy. So I'm going to close right there. The rest of the sermon will continue next time. I was saying that people of mature understanding maintain cordial relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And number two, they live their life based on his word. The word of God. Oh, they just don't memorize it. They just don't read it. They live it. They live the life of the word. They live the life of the word. Physically, what brings understanding is growth. What brings growth is food. When you eat, you will begin to what? Grow. You cannot compare a 2-year-old understanding to a 20-year-old understanding, except there is a problem. And when you don't feed well, then you don't grow well. And what brings maturity is exercise. The more you begin to exercise, then you begin to grow stamina. You begin to see muscle coming. You begin to grow, you know, in your shape. You begin to be strong. So, brethren, just reading the word is not enough, but we must be exercising the word. We must be living the life of the word. When you are living the life of the word, you are growing to a maturity level in your understanding, because your knowledge will begin to be expanding. Having relationship with him makes you to hear his voice when he speaks and hearken to his word. Yielding, observing, and diligently responding to his word result in mature understanding. The Bible says the entrance of his word give life. When we have that life, which is Christ, I'm telling you, we become the light of the world. Because that entrance, that is the word enter us, it's not just that we cram it, we memorize it. The word is in us. We begin to live the word. Our life will begin to be transformed. Day by day, you see yourself changing. You see yourself advancing. You begin to see changes in your life, the way you react to issues. You are now listening to his voice and acting with it. Then you become light. What is light? Light. See, because of this light, we can all see. Everybody that comes in contact with you will be blessed. Your life, they will want to associate with you. They will want to be with you. The word of God is important in our lives in order for us to grow. See what Jesus did. Verse 30 of that Luke chapter 24. Verse 30.
Luke 24, verse 30.
See, as Jesus, I'm about to round up now because I want to stop here. As Jesus continued to talk to them, see, as they sat down, you don't forget, they asked him to stay, and he stayed. He continued sharing the word with them. As they sat down to eat, everybody read it with me. He took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. Whew. He took the bread. Jesus, the bread of life. He gave himself. He said, for you people to see, you must have me. He gave himself to them. The moment they receive him, the author and the finisher, the creator, the awesome God came in them. There is no way he will come into you and you will remain the same. It is the word of God that changes all. And except the Lord builds, I'm telling you, even apply it to our homes, you can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. If you let him take over in 1 second, you just say 360 degree turnaround. And you will live long. You won't sweat no more. You will sleep. But if you want to do it, by fire, by force, you children will hear me. It won't go like that. When they hear you, and they go. But when they hear him, they will respond. He will now bless the two of you. Not just them. Their life will change. You two will live. He broke the word and he gave it to them. See what happened. Verse 31. Suddenly. Suddenly. Their eyes were open. And what? Their eyes open. What made their eyes open? Was it beating them? That all this why you people have been following Jesus Christ, you never heard. All you want is food, bread and fish. Miracle. Miracle, miracle. No. He was breaking the word for them. Spending time. Don't give up on the word. Don't give up on the word. Dry bone will rise again. Dry bone will rise again. I said, dry bone will rise again. Do not give up. The word is power himself. Immediately, their eyes open and they recognize him and it disappeared. On social media, I was reading something. Somebody experienced the power of the word. And the word changed him around. I don't know your situation today. The word is alive. The word is alive. I was listening to the story of this man, and I was highly blessed. I said, wow, the word of God is powerful.
And I held my mother's gun to my head, and I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him hamburger. Hamburger met French fry and created a happy meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening he was inebriated. And a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, "Why would you be a nigger lover?" My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime, Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. And the doctor said, "We have to take out your third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life. What do you do with the American dream becomes an American nightmare?" She could not work. She was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail. And day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house. They lost their car. They lost their furniture. They lost their dignity. They lost their self-esteem. And they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple. And my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, "What is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine." She said, "Where?" He said, "You're sitting on it." And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, "You can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby." They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things. Don't talk. Don't trust. Don't feel and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, "Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom. She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His Word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor, and preached until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes, I was born a trick baby. But the trick was on the devil.
Hallelujah.
Because of you and the power of the Word of God.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org. where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.